Well,
I don't know what the fuck you think you're doing, Scott. Hello, everyone, and welcome.
You're a creature of habits.
Hey.
We meticulously plan these things down to the last syllable.
Do it.
And for the previous 23 episodes, this being episode 24, I have introduced the podcast. And all of a sudden, you've decided to go, all jazz-like, and just sort of decided to improvise off your own bat without authorizing it through me or the production team.
The production team. Hello, me.
There is a team of producers at my end, Scott. You wouldn't know about it, but anyway.
Get on with it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 24 of the Simpleton Podcast. My name is Daniel James. I am based in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. And joining me, as always, is that fucking cockhead at the other end of the line, Scott Gall from Berlin, Germany. Scott, how are you?
Jolly good times, Daniel. Proceed, my friend.
Beautifully read and wonderfully ad-libbed at the end when you added my friend. Scott, it's time for the World Roundup. What do you have for us this week?
Public warning. A public warning, which takes us to Swaziland, Africa. Excuse me, still haven't been able to shake my cough. Daniel, most of the listeners, they're fairly dumb.
Hang on. No, I can't let you get away with that. I cannot let you slander our audience like that. People tune into this podcast week in, week out because they want informative entertainment, and that's what we provide. So, Scott, just mind your game. Ask your question.
That was a bit below the belt. Apologies to the listeners. You're not. You're clearly not. Swazilands. That's what I was getting at, Daniel.
Yeah, what do you want to know?
Tell us a bit about it, the country.
It's a very, it's one of your favourite type of countries, Scott. It's a small landlocked African nation that spans no further than 200 kilometres north to south and no further than 130 kilometres east to west. It's quite a mountainous nation, Scott, and in the western parts of the country can receive up to 2 metres of rainfall a year, which is quite remarkable.
Phenomenal amount.
It's also known for its disastrous HIV epidemic. It has the lowest life expectancy in the world, with just the average life expectancy of 31.88 years, which I'm sure you would agree, Scott, is just appalling.
Appalling, yes, I agree.
However, I believe you've got a story for us that touches upon this landlocked African nation.
Yes. With rising temperatures and rainfall, you guessed it, the kingdom's crocodile season is here again. Daniel, what species of crocodile is predominant in that kingdom?
The Nile crocodile, Scott.
Tell us a bit about the species.
I thought you were going to tell us about this beautiful marsupial, Daniel.
The marsupial. It is a marsupial. I understand the only marsupial crocodile amongst the world's 421 species of crocodile.
Yeah. You just totally made up the 421, didn't you?
No, proceed.
Well, first of all, Scott, it's not a marsupial. Not a marsupial. Marsupials only reside in this great land of Oz. Of mine, not of yours, because you're a German. It's a wonderful, majestic beast, Scott. But I would have thought that there were more pressing issues that Zimbabwe. That would have been blasphemous in Swaziland to say that. But there's more important issues facing Swaziland, Scott. Namely, the fact that the IMF is suggesting that Swaziland should give less money to the king and royal family and more to the poor. Have you got anything for us on that?
Yeah, got a little bit to say on that. To the listeners, I still feel bad about calling you dumb. Cheap gag, you're not dumb. Appreciate your listenership.
Scott will whip himself tonight to make up for it, to just get a little bit of penance out of himself just to make sure that he's punished himself adequately to never repeat that slander again. Also, he will do it because it's sexually arousing. But Scott, what else you got for us on Swaziland?
Yeah. I have to give a little bit of a compliment to my friend Daniel here, listeners. Daniel has strong connections with Swaziland and with the royal family of that kingdom. The king of Swaziland, King Herbert Megalomanius IV, recently had his 48th birthday in September. Daniel,
it's funny, it was 44 a few minutes ago, but go on.
Daniel was commissioned with the task of using public funds to purchase a birthday present for the king on behalf of the people. Daniel opted heavily for a dried tiger's penis, which is a symbol of fertility. He was overridden by the commission, who decided to buy the king a brand new jet on the public funds. Daniel was disgusted. But what it really highlights is that 88% of that country's GDP is spent on the royal family and the king.
It was 78% a few moments ago, Scott.
And the other 12% is spent on the defense forces. And this is really what the IMF was getting at with its recent letter. Daniel, what are you talking about, by the way? You've bipped in there two times. Something was such and such was something a few minutes ago.
We've had to restart this podcast, Scott, because the first
you're doing it again.
So fucking shite. You know
you're
it.
Doing it again.
You know it. I'll put it down to you not being properly sourced up, by the way. I really do.
What have you got to say, Daniel, on this letter from the IMF?
Look, I'm not usually one for international bodies sticking one's nose into one's sovereign.
Now you're repeating my line from our last failed attempts. What are you doing now?
So you admit that there was a you admit there was a failed attempt?
Oh damn. Just Rat was just trapped in his own little ambush, wasn't he? Daniel, proceed.
I can see how the IMF could come to the conclusion that 78% of the nation's GDP going to the royal family, and in particular the king is a little bit steep. I can totally understand that. But what fucking business is it of theirs, you know? If the king wants to starve his people and he wants to make sure that he funds a military to make sure that there's no uprising against him, then that's no business of anyone else's, as far as I'm concerned, Scott.
Well said. And further to that, Daniel, how do you reckon we're going this time?
Well, I have to interrupt you there, Scott, because I'm getting word through from the production team that we're preparing to cross live to Brussels for a very special broadcast, Scott. You know more about this than me, but can you tell us a little bit about what we're about to undertake in a simpleton first, Scott?
Well, you're correct, Daniel. It is that time of the year, isn't it? Christmas, almost. The Anti-Bishop of Brussels, Father Manson Mason from the International Church of Satan, is just about to make his annual pre-Christmas address any minute now from the balcony of his residence overlooking Lucifer Square. Daniel, where is the headquarters of the church?
Brussels, Scott. Brussels.
Yeah, stupid question.
Dumb question.
There are many millions of members all over Europe as well as the USA, not to mention a smattering in other places too. We will cross live to Lucifer Square when the Anti-Bishop appears on the balcony. I understand there are already tens of thousands of the faithful crammed into the square waiting for the moment when he appears on the balcony. We are ready to make that crossover. All is ready on that front as soon as he appears. Daniel, I've just been caught a little bit on the hop now because we don't know when. It could be 10 seconds from now. It could be 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And now we've got nothing to talk about. What should we talk about?
How have you been really, Scott?
Yeah, that's of no interest to anyone, Daniel.
Well,
what about you?
Look, we could talk a little bit about what we think the Anti-Bishop might address in his speech. Scott, do you have any inside knowledge as to what it is that he might cover?
That'll be his usual stuff, Daniel. I'll tell you one thing that he won't cover. There was recently a scandal, of course, when he and several of his... What are the subordinates to bishops?
Who cares?
Several of his subordinates were caught naked. Well, they were wearing G-strings around several public primary schools in Brussels, as well as other European cities, trying to push cocaine onto kids.
This is the Church of the Antichrist.
Yes, yes. They were trying.
That's par for the course for the other mob. But okay, go for it.
Yeah, well, they were caught in G-strings trying to push off cocaine onto kids as they were leaving their schools. Storm of controversy. They were saying that that was cost-free. They were saying they were not asking for any payment for the cocaine, and that was their defense. That's one thing he won't be mentioning, Daniel. What about you? What do you think?
Sorry, Scott, I have to interrupt you now. I hear that the anti-bishop is now... on the balcony about to address the masses. So let's cross to him.
We better get over there.
As I look over the wall, gathered here upon Rosetta Square, I am filled with an intense feeling of disgust, loathing and attempt. For you are all assuredly the lowest of the low. Vermin, scum, as revolting as you are repugnant. Does this somehow make you special? You may well ask. The answer is no. It only makes you human. Only human. As we gather here today, I look down upon you all. What do you think of those who are living in countries that are currently ravaged by peace? Also, spare a thought for those for whose Christmas is a time of joy and happiness. The joy of giving, what is that? The joy of giving. I will tell you exactly what it is. It's a cynical expression of pseudo-narcissism dressed up in a cacophony of self-righteous folly. Listen closely, you parasitic rabble, you lousy, vile, despicable rabble. Taking is not to be underrated. You should take what you can, but give only what you must. Some say, love thy neighbor. I don't. Never trust anyone. Certainly never lend your lawnmower to your neighbor or anyone else, for you will undoubtedly never see it again. And isn't that just typical of your fellow man? I mean, just look at you, you buffoons, you listless bunts of nobodies. Haven't you got anything to do with your pointless lives then? Scrap that. That question is as redundant as you all are. I have nothing more to say. You must go now. Leave this place at once. I feel dirty. I feel very dirty. Run to the bath, man. I'm not bad at it. Use the scotch and whiskey. I need a drink. I feel filthy.
Wow, Scott. How about that?
is that his usual? I haven't heard one. He's been doing it for years and years, even decades. Is that fairly standard?
What he just delivered? Look, we're here at the Simpleton are a multi-denominational church. So we're a broad church. We like to hear from all sorts of religions. And that's pretty much stock standard for him. Yeah, pretty much stock standard.
He really messed up his cacophony pronunciation, didn't he?
I think it just goes to show that someone that is so filled with hate, loathing and revenge for his fellow people, he's obviously someone who's also very poorly educated. Someone who's obviously been educated in a very B grade, small rural high school, I would suggest. Judging what?
Oh, that's a bit below the belt, Daniel.
Yeah.
But look, it was good. I'll take something out of that. I know you will. I know the simpletons will take something out of that. Sounded a little bit like Demetriades.
Well, he's from the continent, Scott. So I'm not sure what part of the continent he may well indeed be from Greece, but I'm pretty sure he's a southern Mediterranean type. And as we know, all those southern Mediterranean types sound the same. But Scott, it's time now to hear from our next sponsor.
The Romans never came this far. The Vikings raped and pillaged, but did not conquer. The British thought they had, but this land belongs to one family. Since 1123 BC, the McFarclock have been distilling the finest Scotch whiskey in the Highlands of Scotland. Aged for over two centuries in the bladder of a Highland Red and installed in oak barrels for a further generation, McFarclock Scotch Whiskey is the conqueror. McFarclock will keep you warm in those cold winter nights. McFarclock Scotch Whiskey. Drink it straight or don't drink it at all.
Available at Liquorland, Safeway and all Dan Murphy outlets.
Well, just wait, Daniel, that ad that just ran reminded me of something. There was a little oversight from last week, and it would be a little remiss of me now not to acknowledge an oversight made by this podcast. A sponsor who had an ad spot with us last week is left a little bit unhappy, Daniel. As you know, we not only provide ad space, sometimes we also produce the ads ourselves. That's your area. Last week, there was a little action device promoting the sheep drench that was featured last week on our ad spot.
I remember it vaguely, yeah. Go on.
Yeah. On that little action device offered listeners the chance to score a bonus 2 liters of that sheep drench if they were able to decode a secret message, Daniel. That secret message should have been played backwards, which would have involved decoding. It did not play backwards.
You mean this secret message, Scott?
If you buy this drench, you'll live for eternity. You'll live for eternity. So buy this drench.
What was it, that one?
It was that one. And it was not secret, Daniel, because
That bloke in that commercial's got a simply awful singing voice.
Yes, I couldn't agree more on that. Daniel, it should have been reversed. The sponsors informed me they did their market research. They estimated that no more than 15% of their customers would bother to decode that. As a result of it not being played backwards, over 90% of listeners who purchased that sheep drench were able to score the 2 bonus liters, which cut into their profit margin quite a fair bit. They were satisfied overall with the result, but a little unhappy with that production oversight. And I'm just apologizing to them now on behalf of you, Daniel. So I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. It's on behalf of us, Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, shall we move on to listeners' letters?
Let's move on to them.
You know what, Scott?
What?
We simply can't do this podcast without our listeners. Did you know that?
So goes the motto. We could.
Well, it's not a motto, Scott. It's a core principle. It's a philosophy that we base this podcast on. This podcast isn't simply about you and I. It's about the millions, some would say billions, of simpletons that tune in to this podcast week in, week out. Yeah. And they make this podcast special by entering into dialogue with us. And one of the ways to do that is by sending us emails at contact@thesimpleton.com.au, or they can visit thesimpleton.com.au and leave a voice message. None of which they have, well, they certainly haven't left any voice messages. Oh, let me just say that. That function,
notice that.
That function is available on the website.
You know what, Daniel? They're highly, what's the opposite to responsive? What's the word that's opposite to responsive?
Dead?
No. Irresponsive? I'm not even sure if that's a word. We keep trying to draw them in, you know, to our promotions, interaction, Daniel.
It's lucky that we get, you know, we're lucky that we get three letters a week, all of which that we read out. If they were to send letters in, if they were to send more letters in, we would read them out. Happens week in, week out, we get the three letters. We just get the three letters. Scott, I believe you have the first letter.
I do. This one is from Schlong Schlittman of Moglanembi South. This is what he has to say. People openly discuss their concerns regarding overpopulation, but go coy when asked what should be done about it. Enough. Here is a list of countries and approximate number of people in each of them that must be culled along humanitarian lines. USA, 300 million. UK, 60 million. France, 60 million. Germany, 80 million. That's a good start, but I guess we should also throw in some pissant nations for good measure too. Oh, shock horror, right? Take a hike, guys. I'm only saying what everyone else is thinking. That's from Schlong Schlittman of Moglanembi South. Do you have any commentary, Daniel, or do you just want
what's
to read
the population
out?
What's the population of Germany, Scott?
About 82 million.
So he would wipe out 80 million Germans and leave 2 million Germans behind.
Well, I think he's. That's pretty much like that with all the countries he mentioned. USA.
Oh
has
yeah,
about,
no, he's not. He's not discriminating against anyone.
That's right.
To be fair. No, I've got nothing else to say about that.
Letter two.
Okay, letter two. Who does this come from? Thank you. This comes from Mr. Brewster. Who has not provided an address. We'll take it that it is the Mr. Brewster and not ask any questions. Mr. Brewster writes, Daniel and Scott, no, not impressed. As in shaking the head. A new low. You've reached a new low. I had far, far, far higher hopes for the two of you. But to see what you have become, to see it and to hear it, no. In a word, no. But let's catch up for a beer and talk about how both of you guys can get out of this hole. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Brewster.
Thank you, Mr. Brewster.
Thank you, Mr. Brewster. And Scott, I believe that you have letter three.
Yes. This one is from Suarez Sanchez of Mashhad in Iran. Mm-hmm. And this is what Suarez has to say. Arakatoa, Twara, Yakiyoko, Va, Doko, Tasuka. Well, thank you, Suarez. You have to say, Daniel.
Suarez. That was Japanese, was it not?
Sounded Japanese. I just read what's here. I believe it was Japanese.
Yeah, you know how we said that we were flogging a dead horse when we constantly referred to the various people writing in from the Bahamas? It's only week two of this little expedition of people who don't sound Japanese at all, but actually writing in Japanese to us. And I must say that the horse is on its knees and is about to die.
You've got some explaining to do here. We get three letters every week. That's what you claimed, and we have no choice but to read those three letters.
Correct. I'm suggesting that it might be someone pulling a bit of a stunt, Scott. A cunning stunt.
Wouldn't write that off. Daniel, this has been abysmal and appalling. I say that we... Keep going.
I say that we bring this baby home and wrap her up in a wool blanket and send her to bed. What say you, Scott?
The same.
Well, Scott, is there anything in the week ahead in your miserable life that you want to make listeners aware of, you know, that has broader ramifications for the world at large?
Yeah, Christmas. That's what I see in about a week. And you?
I think in a week from today it will be Christmas. I agree. And may I take the opportunity to... wish all of those out there that are actually celebrating Christmas a very merry Christmas at that. I would like to thank all the Simpsons for tuning in for the year. Do you anticipate there being any more podcasts this year, Scott?
I think there'll be one more. We've actually got a special offer next week for the Simpletons that's Christmas related and will help them get in the mood for Christmas. So I'd recommend listen next week.
Oh, that's interesting. I know nothing of that. But anyway, if you're celebrating Christmas, Merry Christmas to you. If you're not, have a good one anyway. Scott, I'd like to thank you very much for your time.
Do it.
Thank you very much for your time, Scott.
No whackers, mate. And all the best.
All right, mate. See you, mate.
See you, mate.